Jacob, Jacob, Joe and Jacob. Agile monkeys play. Jacob, Jacob, Joe and Jacob. Agile, unpredictable Jacob.
Hello everyone, this is Jacob. Hi Joe.
Hi Jacob.
How are you?
Oh my gosh, let me tell you, I am amazing.
And why is that?
Well, because we have two people with us today. We have Mikkel and Lakshan, who are the duo that have brought into this world the wonderful beast known as Comic Agile. Welcome, gentlemen. Have I pronounced that correctly?
We don't know. I guess we think so, right? Agile, something like that. We need to really ask someone who speaks French at some point. So we'll get back to you on that.
Yeah. So the audio part of the comic we haven't really thought through. So
yeah. So why did you pick it spelled with that accent on the end?
Because it looks cool. It makes it look more intellectual than it is.
And sort of accents that sort of raises the look of a word. You can put accents on anything, and you actually you multiply that the importance and the of that by 7.9 actually.
Oh, you've measured it.
Try
That's
this
fantastic.
With the podcast, actually.
Yeah. And I can imagine how it makes it easier to talk to and the executives about it. You know, they can see there's an accent over the letters, and they're like, oh, I need to know more about this now.
And then they find themselves depicted in it, and then they kind of throw us out. But
yeah.
The mirror is too clear. Yes. So for anyone who has not run into Comic Agile yet, or pick, actually, should we have a competition to see who can pronounce it best? Maybe that's, maybe pick your favorite pronunciation. Yeah. It is a how many strips do you guys have so far? Are you in the 80s, aren't you?
80 something.
Oh, I think 100 plus.
Oh, 100 plus. So these beautiful. So I'm going to try to summarize it for anyone who hasn't. You just type in comic, and you can actually just spell agile. You don't have to do agile, but it'll both come up. And what you'll see are these short comic strips that are beautiful depictions of anyone who has ever tried agile in their life, like from all the angles. If you've been a product owner, if you've been a scrum master, if you've been an executive, if you've been a consultant, if you've been a person, a developer on a team, if you've been a UX person, they've got a situation for everyone. And it's, I'm not going to describe it that gives in any way that's going to give it any justice, but look it up if you haven't seen it already. For those of you who have, congratulations, we have two of the creators here today. when did you guys start this?
Should I start, Mikkel?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
So we met in 2016 in Vestas, where Mikkel works now. It's a wind turbine manufacturing company, or energy solutions, or whatever it's called now. So we met there. We were both hired approximately the same time, Mikkel as a UX and myself as a product owner. And so we worked on the same team. And I guess we needed some sort of way of letting out all our frustrations of what an agile team does and what's possible on the lower levels of the company and the higher levels and all this stuff. So we started making actually physical strips and hung them on near coffee machines and stuff, just like a side gig, because besides our real jobs, of course, we needed to manage our frustrations in some sort of way, and we can't really shout at people.
I just get this picture of in my mind, he's like, options, shout at people, write comic strip to put on vending machine.
Exactly.
All right.
Very passive aggressive.
Yes. So we went with the latter option, and it turned out to be quite popular, right? In the physical proximity of our offices. And then jumping forward a couple of years, I guess, and Corona hit and COVID hit. So in March 2020, we thought of, let's try to put this online and see what people say. We remove the name Vestas and just make it kind of generic, because we had a thesis that it's not just about that company, but all companies basically. And we got a huge positive reaction on Facebook where we started. And then we got kind of addicted to that reaction, right? The dopamine release is very, very dangerous. So we had to do more and more. And as we worked together, new situations arose and we had to depict some of that. And then it just exploded.
And first we started on Facebook and thought, this is a media for us. And then realized, now all the young people, they are on Instagram. So we did so much to sort of move our audience from Facebook to Instagram, and you can read it one day ahead on Instagram and all that. And then I think, what was it, a year ago, half a year ago, sort of, no, this, it really doesn't make sense, because all the cool people, they are not on Instagram. All the audience that we have, they don't do Instagram. And also the format of our strips, we have way too much text to put on Instagram. So let's try on LinkedIn. Maybe we could do something there. And it was just sort of an experiment. And that's where it really took off. So,
And especially one strip, right? The one with the Scrum Master kind of went semi-viral. The one with the Scrum Master the team needs and the Scrum Master that management actually hires. Which depicts like a He-Man kind of Scrum Master that team needs, but what they actually end up with is a baby.
Yes, I love that.
And that one really took off.
Well, yeah, I wonder why.
It's so true.
The cool thing about LinkedIn is that the engagement from the audience that we have is so giving. And everybody has something to say. Everybody can relate, and also they relate the situations to what they have experienced and engage other of their connections in on LinkedIn. Whereas the other platforms that we started on were sort of more ha ha ha, that's fun. But what really gives on LinkedIn is that people engage with the content and share it. So I think they kind of, you could say
that they tag the people we draw.
Right?
I also, so there are three things about what you just said that I want to address. One is, I think you're the first person that I ever heard say the cool thing about LinkedIn is. and I mean, and we say this as like two people who use LinkedIn and love LinkedIn, but and the second one is actually I don't have the second one. I only have the third one. And the third one is, did you say that you worked for a power company that uses what again?
Wind turbine manufacturing.
So in what country are you in?
Denmark.
You could not pick a more Dutch company to work for.
But we're in Denmark.
Than a company that uses wind turbines. No, it's awesome. It's amazing. But it would be literally like having an agile person working for a hot dog manufacturer in America. Yeah. So, I mean.
Yes.
And do you guys remember what was your first strip about? Without checking.
Yeah, the first one on LinkedIn, I guess, the first published one.
Yeah.
The first established one was not on LinkedIn; it was on Facebook, right? It was the one with the program board.
All right.
Because we were also in a safe transformation, and that just inherently gives you a lot of inspiration for stuff like this. So it's about the program board where you know, they start communicating about this is a cool artifact to give an overview of dependencies between teams. And then on the final panel, you see that the dependencies even go to the plant, and it's just, they're everywhere. people visualize it, but don't do anything to remove them, right? So what use is that?
I think we have to give a shout out to our employee at that time, right? Because I don't think you can imagine a more waterfall place to work than a wind turbine manufacturing company. They are basically smiths, creating something out of iron that has to stand somewhere in the rain for 30 years. So of course the waterfall method is pretty good here, but us working in the software sort of okay, maybe we could do something other than the stage gate here, and this whole transformation that actually started when we started at Vestas. There are tons of situations and inspirations to that we haven't even begin to draw yet.
And I could see how you pick on safe a lot, but at the same time I think there is one strip when you actually kind of take a step back and you admit that there is a lot of good ideas in safe and we shouldn't just bash safe or
no, exactly being... So what you'll see in the book also we made the text description more nuanced, so it's not safe bashing, because what we're really bashing is the people and the way they implement safe. It's never, so I believe it's never the frameworks.
We're not bashing the concept, just your listeners.
Thank you, guys.
No, but completely, completely
right.
It's
the way you implement. If a 10-week planning session doesn't make sense for you, and you still do it because it's in the safe book, then it's not on safe, it's on you, right? So.
Nice.
We're trying to, start some discussions on how can we improve what needs to be improved in SAFE when you adopt it and implement it? And do you need a program backlog? Do you really need a program, a product manager, if you can empower the POs instead, but still run some sort of SAFE agile release train, right? So we're actually not trying to bash SAFE, but more the way it's adopted.
And you mentioned that there's going to be more in the book. Tell us about the book.
Oh, what book? I don't know, Mikkel, do you want to tell the people what book we're talking about?
Yeah, sure, let me do that. So I don't know, I think we had drawn maybe 10 comic strips when Lucien said, oh, we should do a book. and I was just come on, we have 10 and let's wait a bit and see and all that. So and that was a year ago, and then we just sort of draw and shared this and more people actually said the same thing that Lucien said. Come, hey, can I buy this? And we want a book and all that. So we've gone and made a book, or we are at least working on one right now. So. So it's scheduled to come out early September, and it is a comic book format, so you would recognize it as a comic book, but it's also what is it, Lucien?
Well, it's kind besides of a comic book. So our tagline is the subtitle is when reality or when agility meets reality and how to manage it. So especially the how to manage it part, kind of in a short format, explains how you could do something about the anti-patterns we depict, or the situations, how can you manage it or avoid it, or even urge it, if that's what you want. So what we call our concept is edutainment. I think it's a word that's been used other places as well, right? So you need to be entertained and also learn something. So we even invented like a cycle for this process, something about laughing and then kind of
reflection.
This is reflection. And then you get kind of angry and frustrated, and then you do something about it.
Nice.
So it's like that's the process we want people to go through when they read our strips and the accompanying texts.
Do you reckon in a few years you'll be making comic strips about yourself making comic strips?
Oh.
It seems like that's the inevitable destination here.
Yes. Yeah. If you could live off that, so that would be really nice.
Yeah.
So that's the book.
That sounds amazing, guys. Who did you make this book for? I mean, I know that you made it because you guys wanted to make it, but I guess in your mind, when you like, who do you hope picks up this book and enjoys it to the level that you guys are putting into your craft?
So So it's kind of a part of our mission, I guess, right? It's to let's create, let's create better companies. Let's have some more engaged employees, happier people, all this stuff. So this is kind of our contribution to that movement that that Agile kind of feeds into, right? So who should read it? I guess people who are on, who follows us, we have around 16,000 followers right now. I hope some of them will buy it, but more importantly, give it to someone who maybe tried Agile and kind of lost faith in it, or who wants to investigate what Agile is about, some managers or project managers or line managers. People who can be moved somehow.
We've had some comments about, I'm going to buy this for my coachings. Right. And I think there's also a good learning in that, okay, this is what we say. This is a textbook about SAFe and implementation and Agile and all that. And then read this to sort of get a perspective. Read this to maybe avoid some pitfalls. Read this to take a step back and not take stuff too seriously and get some pragmatism in the way you apply what you've just learned, because you can't just take the textbook and put that to work anywhere, right?
So the book is not much different from our actual strips. So the purpose of the book and our strips is the same, right? We want to entertain people in order to become better at doing this Agile stuff. So
nice.
You're talking it a bit down actually, because even though it is our comic strips, the book. Even though it is our comic strips, it also has sort of, you could say that any of our strips is sort of an anti-pattern or something. Don't do this, right? So and then we've tried to put sort of a small text saying, okay, instead of doing this, try to focus on this, and when you are in this situation, try to do this instead. So helping people a little bit instead of just showing how stupid this UX guy is or how awful this manager handles this problem, right?
Yeah.
So we have there is some more than just reading the strip. You have to, we have help. We are here to help.
Nice. And I can totally see how this could be useful, or how it should be used at the end of Scrum Master certification or Agile coaching certification, when everyone goes, out full of energy and they want to change the world, and then they go back to work and nothing's working. And they can see all of this. And this could be a good preparation. You finish the training. Here's the book so that you know what to expect now.
Yeah. Yes, this is a real life.
To the real world, when the training happens.
Yeah.
I love it. There's a certain amount of familiar intimacy to this that, you couldn't make fun of this stuff unless you experienced it. You couldn't have... the whole Homer, it's funny, it's because it's true. This is exactly that. You couldn't poke at this unless you actually loved it a little bit. And that's one of the things I really enjoyed about your strips, is that, as you look at them, and depending on where you are in your journey, you can be defensive about them. You can identify with them. If you're defensive, you probably are identifying with them. You can look at them and say, oh, I've seen that happen, or isn't that funny? But you also include this little tagline, like you guys were talking about, which sort of gives context to it, which is, you'll see this is funny, it's ridiculous. And this is why it's ridiculous, because that's, you're not using this concept in the way that it was meant to be used, or you're kind of merging two ideologies together in a way that was never meant to be. And so it ends up a little bit, it's like the recipes don't match. And I really enjoy that, because it's kind of that step beyond just being a comic strip, as you guys mentioned. I also think you might be the first, at least in my stream, the first LinkedIn comic strip to become popular. I don't know if that's true or not. Please, someone out there, fact check me. But I mean, Dilbert gets quoted, but it existed long before. I actually think you guys are probably the most popular LinkedIn comic strip I've seen yet.
Cool, but are there more than two?
Well, you might be the only. Well, enjoy your kingdom while you have it. There yes, will be competition you. Now.
Thanks for that.
Yes. But we get these notifications, right, about being top 1% LinkedIn engagement or something like that, right, Mikkel?
Yeah.
You keep getting those notifications.
I think they've sort of turned down the filter on LinkedIn, so we don't get that many notifications anymore.
Okay.
But we had a period where I think every second of our strips sort of topped the 1% of engagement.
Wow.
And it is really giving, and it's really also what makes us go and keep on doing this, that we can see that this has an impact, and that people not just laugh, yeah, but also really relates to it. And yeah, as we said earlier, tags colleagues or bosses or the employees or that. So it's so giving.
Yeah, and people start using it in their course material and presentations and stuff like that. And it's really good to see that they can use it for something. So that's really great.
You actually tapped into my next question, which is, since you guys are being used in course material, since you guys do have quite a large following, all of us in the Agile community are on our bated breath wondering, will you certify people?
Oh.
There's no money in that, is there? No.
That's an excellent idea. We need a certification.
Mm, yeah.
It has to be an acronym that spells something. I mean, that is pretty much the rule.
We'll make something up.
It has to be more than three letters, otherwise it might be a government organization.
And still people shouldn't understand the real concept behind what they're certified in, but still be able to get the certification, right? So that's the balance. That's what real good,
And then we'll certify trainers, and they can certify other people, and everybody has to pay sort of a fee to get certified and certified.
Of course, daily fee for using the certificate, right?
You know what they haven't certified yet is they haven't certified certificate interpreters yet. So do you know what I mean? Like, there are all these certifications. Who actually knows which one is worth what? You guys could be the first people to certifiable certification interpreters.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So I'm just thinking we have 10 or 18 strips right there just for to put into the backlog.
On the other hand, when we do stuff, people think it's a lot of balonies, right? They don't believe it's
so it is certifiable.
Exactly.
Oh, that fits actually, yeah. So we tried actually sharing some serious stuff, like serious articles, and people didn't care about that at all.
That's a very common thing comics get, like comedians as well, as like, shut up and give us the funny. We want your insight, but you better make us laugh.
Yes.
We had sort of a concept called "But Seriously," and there weren't really much response on that. So.
Is "But Seriously" given by a butt? That's because that's.
That was the difficult part. It was the difficult part, like making real good stuff, content, people didn't care. Then we just went back to making these comic strips, and that's easy and gave us the dopamine release we needed.
I love it. There's a little bit of addiction in every good thing.
There's a lot of addiction.
But that's back to the king. That's back to the kingdom again, right? Because we hit a niche with the comics, and everybody want to be serious about this. So I think being funny about this actually is a better way in to people than trying to write something that makes
being
sense.
Funny is your way of being serious. I get that.
And it's funny. Why isn't there people are making stand-up comedy shows about Agile and doing stuff like that? Because there's so much stuff. Why is Agile so serious? So it's kind of a mission we have as well, right? Put the fun into Agile.
That's so
somehow. If
Joe, I'm feeling that it's the time to do the.
You read my mind. You read my mind.
We should do it.
All right. So okay. Coordinate with me on our message, our DM, because we'll have to do this in order. Let's do mine last because I'll do it, and because there's not really a way to act that out. So for our audience out there, what we're about to do is role play. Their comic strips are some of our favorite comic strips, and see if they can guess what the title of the comic strip is, and they get bonus points if they can guess the number. Wow. So in the order that you gave them to me, Jakob, the first one.
Okay, we can do it. Yeah. I just don't know what is the number, to be honest, but that's okay.
Well, we can check them afterwards.
Okay.
Can you know from the number? Let me see. Do you guys have a... Actually, if you can... Let me just double check that my assumption is correct or not.
Yeah.
I'm just saying if they can guess the month they were released, but they're all kind of similar. So let's just guess the title. All right. The first one.
You start. You play one of the roles. I'm going to play the second.
Okay. Hey.
Oh, hello.
I want to become an Agile coach, but I don't know how. Do you think you can help me?
Sure. Here, let me borrow your laptop. First, you go here, then you click here, delete this, right here, and click there. Congratulations, you're now an Agile coach.
Oh, but you only updated my LinkedIn headline.
Yes,
congratulations, okay. Now you're an Agile coach.
Yes. So the title is, do you know it, Miguel?
I can't remember, no.
I think the actual title is How to Become an Agile Coach.
That's a little bit too easy. But you know what? The number?
I'm not searching on our homepage right now.
I think it's in the 40s, 40, 43 maybe.
Yeah, something like 40 or 50, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, something like that. That's our best guess.
You know, I could really relate to this because that literally, I mean, so I'm kind of new to the game, about halfway through. If you say Agile is 20 years old, older than that, but you know what I mean? Like officially since they went to that ski resort. That literally was about all it took for a long time. And even now it's like you just basically get hired in and you change your title and now you're an Agile coach. I actually don't care one way or the other about it, but it is exactly that. What you do after that is a whole other story. And the people that you work for, if they know what they're looking for, will know your level of experience, but that literally is all it takes.
It is.
What does it say on your profile, Lucian?
So actually, I changed that. I did. Oh. This is me. This is me.
You're an Agile coach.
Sorry.
Welcome. Sorry. Welcome. All that hard work.
I am. Yeah. So we just see this happen too much. Look, people who are actually project managers kind of want to be in the Agile space, and they... Mm-hmm. You know, have a little bit of Agile coach in the title, and we don't care what that's called either, right? It's the value add you provide somehow that's mostly important.
Look at the definition of the job, not necessarily the title. That's kind of where I focus now. Yeah,
yeah.
But it's also, I guess, fake it till you make it, right? That's how people approach it basically. Take the title and then let's see.
Yes.
To an extent, I don't mind that as long as no one gets hurt in the process, I think, is kind of how I feel about it. Yeah. Is if you have compatible skills and you think you can do it and you surround yourself with people that can support you, go for it. But yeah, I do. You can be put in some precarious situations if you put the wrong time. Do you think this works for other job titles? Like, can we just start putting CEO or
Well, I think it does. I had a couple of CEOs back in the days who I think, we'll stay off that topic.
Good. That's actually a perfect intro to our next comic. Are you queued up?
So yeah. You didn't answer whether the answers were correct.
I think they were.
I think they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. We'll take that.
We're going to say yes. right. So next one. Do you want to start this one, Jakob?
Yeah. Okay.
With your most authoritative voice, please.
Okay. As you know, thanks to the SAFe initiative, we're now called the Agile PMO. So I think it's about time we take a look at our portfolio. Here, let me show you my plan.
Oh, hey, just want to point out that making a multi-year plan for project deliveries by short-lived agile release trains doesn't really seem very agile.
Yes, it is, because these are not projects. They're epics.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
Yay. Oh, my God, I see this all the time. This one is called not just in SAFe. Not just in SAFe. I see this all the time.
Yes. Many of the points are actually, even though it says SAFe, they're not necessarily only related to SAFe.
Mm.
But it's called, I think it's called the Agile PMO.
Mm.
A number, I have no idea. Do you have an idea, Miguel?
I think we are in the 80s.
70s. 70s. 80s, yeah. So you have to remember, we have like 120 made or in the backlog, right? Written, not finished. So that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, man.
We're trying to make excuses for ourselves now. But
no. But this is why this game is even more fun, because you have you've been too good at giving so many that this is of course difficult.
I don't know the number, but the Agile PMO. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, the next one.
Next one. Okay.
All right. This is actually appropriate for me to do because I am currently a consultant.
that's a hint.
well, it starts. So anyways, I'm not no spoilers. We're the consultancy firm, Agile BS. And here's our plan for your Agile transformation. First, to really understand your organization, we'll observe and analyze your department for some time. Based on that analysis, we'll design and describe the transformation effort. Following, we will implement the new Agile processes. Lastly, we will test how that transformation works and integrate it with the current processes across the organization.
We expect the full transformation from analysis to design to implementation to test to take a couple of years.
Yes, yeah. Did you see
that's one of the early ones, actually, yeah.
Yes, did you see the waterfall depicted?
Right. Yeah,
yes,
perfectly. And you gave us different colors so we could clearly tell analysis, design, implement, and test were different.
It's just so silly. You know, why do people? Well, and it's just what we see over and over again. Why don't you take an agile approach to your agile transformation?
Totally.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Totally.
It is crazy. And it's crazy on both sides. That Jakob and I have been through maybe three or four. I don't know, on different levels. Yeah. On one part, that's just what they do. On the other part, they do it because that's what sells. It's really weird. Like I at the company that we were at when we worked together as consultants, we tried to sell small, sort of thin slice changes. And it wasn't appetizing. It was considered too slow. They didn't like the amount of participation it took on their part to learn about the change and the cost of the change and how to plan for the next bigger increment of it.
Yeah.
That was our experience. That doesn't mean that all organizations are closed off to it. But
I need to go out of this room. Sorry. I'll just be back.
It's all right. I think it's so popular also because it talks to the arrogance of executives or leaders. Like they think they have all the answers and it's so hard for them to let go and accept that they don't and that maybe they need to learn. So they prefer to do the analysis to make all the decisions up front and just roll it out.
I was at one organization where the consulting agency was actually full of some pretty skilled people, but they were recommending a year for the scale that they were talking about to change. And the CEO said, what's the shortest amount of time any other organization had done it? And they were like, 8 months. And he's like, we'll do it in 6.
Whoa.
Oh. So that, I mean, that was the reason.
Yeah. Beautiful, yeah.
I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes.
Yeah, cool. Nice.
We're not, just by the way, Agile BS, it stands for Agile Business Solutions, of course.
Oh, okay. Well, of course. Yeah, of course.
We don't want to bash any consultancy firms here or businesses, right? they do a solid job.
All right.
Yeah.
Second to last. Okay, I can start.
You'll start. Wait, I might have the wrong one. Hold on.
Oh, you can do two both, and then
you can mix.
Yes.
All right. I'm gonna do the sound effects. You start.
Okay. We need to talk. Ever since you became an Agile coach, you've changed totally. You never spend time with me anymore. You ignore the kids, and you're always at Agile meetups or on Slack. I want a divorce.
Please bring it up on the retro on Friday. Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
Yeah, I could actually relate to this one a lot. Not the response, yeah. but the reality before the response. What about you, Jan?
Yes,
of course. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, of course.
But at the same time, I can see this happening with teams so much that, you know, coaches or scrum masters, they just wait for the retro to deal with problems or issues, and it's just instead of trying to be in this continuous flow of trying to find even the smallest thing.
And that's kind of the sub point, or actually the main point of this. It's not that he's an evangelist and all this stuff, but you don't have to wait until the retro, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool.
I have a question about his screen in the last one. It has like it looks like an error or something like that. Is he, like, you guys obviously intentionally made his screen look a certain way because it looks like he's on Slack. For the first one, looks like he's on Slack for the second one. You don't see his screen for the third one. And then the fourth one, his screen has like an error message on it. What was the error message that you thought he was looking at?
Yeah, I don't know, actually, because if you look at it, it's actually it's an Apple product, his Cinnamon. Mm. But it's a Windows error message. So, I don't know. There's quite some inconsistency in that drawing. I'm sorry.
There's levels to this.
There are levels. This is like a preemptive to the Twilight Zone. I love it.
Okay, last one, Joe. You do this one. That's your favorite.
I'm just gonna say one word.
I couldn't hear you. What?
Oh, Falcor. I mean, from my generation, this is like this. I just couldn't stop hearing this song. So the comic is, it has this boy. If you guys have ever, I'm not even going to tell you the name of the movie because it's a spoiler. Has this boy on this furry dragon flying through the clouds, going yeah. With his hand up, and it says, "When you have one user story for all the maintenance and support work, the never-ending story." I love this one so much. I want this one on a shirt. Actually, I want to like wear this around. It's so good. Where it was? This is a relatively recent one too, right?
Yeah, I think it's middle of the 80s.
Yeah, 84.
Yeah. 84, yeah. Pretty close.
Everything's relatively recent, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, relatively.
Yes, speaking. Mm. Yeah.
Especially if you experience it at work today, that's very relatively new.
That's, Yes. And we do. So. So why are these your favorites?
Ooh.
Oh, good. Good question.
Is there a red thread between them? Or what was... Why?
For the Neverending Story one, for me, it was just childhood. but also, like you tapped into two very pertinent things in my life. One is my childhood love of movies like that, and two was a really common conversation that you have where you see pretty good intent from teams. Like, we understand what you're trying to do. Unfortunately, you're missing out on a lot of insights that you could use later by doing that. And so it's a really common conversation that I've had, and the fact that you made it humorous lightens it for me next time it happens. In fact, I'll probably hear that song in my head next time I see it. <That's great. laughs> I'll probably go in and just start singing to them and serenading them, and it'll all be your fault.
That's fine.
Yeah, the retro one was because of the reason that I mentioned, that it's just so true and sad at the same time. And it shows how we often just forget about the principles, but we follow the rules and the guides and what's in there, instead of just focusing why we are doing these things and actually breaking the rules, but following the principles. And I hope that this comic strip would make people think a bit more about how they approach improvements and help them take courageous actions.
Yeah.
So could we ask you a final question, maybe? I guess we have a couple of minutes left. So in your view, and maybe we could ask your listeners as well.
Nice.
What could we do to improve?
Ooh.
I don't know if you have any answers, or maybe your listeners could
provide. Be more funny.
that hurts.
No, you're already very funny, but I'm kind of curious as to what insanely funny looks like. I don't know.
I would say give your characters more hair, because they're
Is everyone bald? There a story behind that? Is that on purpose?
Yeah, well, if you see a picture of me, and since I'm the sort of the illustrator, it's just I'm just trying to draw myself in as many
narcissist.
Yes.
I'm looking for these strips. All the guys are bald.
we started pretty basic with the characters, and they didn't have any thumbs, and they didn't have any legs, and they didn't have any hair, and they were all white or pink or something like that, because I only had a pink marker. And then as the points and the histories, stories of the panels developed, and we needed to be able to show more situations than just someone saying something to another. We needed thumbs. And we needed some way to distinguish the characters. So okay, this one can have some hair now. And also we needed to sort of include the diversity, both gender wise and race wise and all that. So we just needed more characters and more ways to distinguish what they were doing and how they were looking and what they were thinking. So they have thumbs now, and they have feet. No, they don't have feet, but they have legs at least, so they can walk around.
But Miguel, the question is, why are they bald?
But
why are you talking about thumbs?
It takes too long to draw hair. Come on.
Okay.
I think they're hinting at this is going to be one of the certifications for Comic Agile.
Yes.
Is how long is your hair?
So the strip with the never-ending story, it took forever because look at all that hair on.
Oh Fanko, yes.
Right? I could see the detail in the hair.
Yes. Yeah.
I was impressed. That was probably the first one I've seen with your main character having hair.
Yeah.
But take a look at that team topology one. They're really
team topology.
They're really different.
That was actually super diverse. I really enjoyed that one. That was awesome.
Yes,
that's good.
But Then I'm looking at number 76 value streams, and everyone is bald.
That's only to make the value stream as lubricated and smooth as possible. Because it's mind work. It runs smoother across bald heads. Yeah,
as lubricated as Miguel's head.
Oh my goodness!
Just for the record, I'm not bald. I'm just very short haired.
Yes. Going towards bald.
Follically challenged, I think, is what we're calling it. Thank you guys. This has been an education and completely enjoyable on our part. What's the best way for people to reach out to you, to contact you, to ask for more, to give you that feedback?
Sure. Okay. So we have a LinkedIn page. Just write comic and agile. Don't worry about the accent and all this stuff. But I realized that you can't really contact us directly on a LinkedIn page, right? So we have an email. What's our email, Miguel? I forgot.
I think we've been very creative and said it's contact@comicagile.net.
Is it agile or agile with the accent? Agile. Did you make people have to find that letter?
but you're
secret ASCII codes to get. The
Yes. You have to pronounce it in your head while you write it.
Right. Okay. Yes.
You don't need to put in the accent when you do that. So yeah, So do that. Contact@comicagile.net. Yeah.
Nice. Well, thank you both. It was a huge pleasure to have you here. Hear your stories, and I think that's reading or watching the comic stripes gonna be even more enjoyable now.
It's good to thank you for having us.
Thanks, you guys.
Fun. Yeah,
we look forward to your next one.
Yeah,
Agile Podcasters, I'm sure.
Oh yes,
I'm pretty sure as well.
Oh no.
All right, thank you, everyone. Thank you, our listeners.
Yep.
Ciao.